Australian of the Year and domestic violence campaigner Rosie Batty has backed union calls for 10 days of extra leave for victims of family violence to allow for court appearances, relocating and other issues associated with protecting victims. Now, businesses like Telstra and Virgin Australia have already agreed to offer an extra 2 weeks leave to domestic violence victims. The weekend's ALP conference saw the party pass a motion on family violence sufferers' right to leave entitlements, along with a raft of other changes to workers' rights, which tried to cement the Labor Party's stance against family violence that it plans to carry to the next election. Here's the CFMEU's West Australian Assistant State Secretary, Jo McDonald, talking on the issue at the conference.
I'm doing this for the bravest woman I ever met, me mother. I grew up in the west coast of Scotland in a coal mining community where domestic violence was a national pastime. I was of that generation who, instead of trying to do something about the old man coming in drunk and knocking my mother around, I blamed her for not shutting up and just letting him go to bed. I don't know where you live, but I know somewhere on the street where you live, there's a war in a kitchen for somebody. Stop it. Fix it. Do something about it.
That's a very speech that many people have been talking about. It comes as the Department of Human Services has announced it will lead the Australian Public Service in the fight against family and domestic violence. And Minister for Human Services, Maurice Payne, is helping lead that. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Patricia.
How will your department lead this change?
We have a number of initiatives in place, and we're starting, in fact, at two levels. Firstly, in relation to our customers. As you might imagine, the Department of Human Services has contact with some of our customers at their most vulnerable times, and that includes people who may be experiencing family and domestic violence. So we have commenced earlier this year and are continuing a process of training our staff, initially in the child support space, in a risk identification and referral model. I think one of the most important things that we can achieve in that area is a consistency of approach from staff members to our customers. We have about 34,000 staff across Australia, so as you can imagine, they're all individuals and they approach things as individuals. But when we can roll out consistent training like this, I think it will definitely assist us in supporting our customers who are experiencing family and domestic violence in the most effective way. So that would be the first step on the customer-facing side. But what I've also recognised and had an opportunity to think about for some time now is that with a staff the size of the Department of Human Services, as I said, 34,000 people, inevitably, because of the prevalence of this issue, and we know that it happens anywhere, anytime, any suburb, any town, that I will have amongst those staff individuals who are experiencing or have experienced or are impacted in some way by family and domestic violence. So I'm very keen, along with my senior executive, to, if you like, make sure that we are doing the right thing to support our staff in this in our work environment as well. That will mean a new degree of leadership. I think I said in some remarks this week where we need to change language, we will change language. Some very clear communication and messaging to staff that tells them that they will be supported, that they will receive support in our workplace if they are able to let us know that they are dealing with this issue.
What do you think of the proposal endorsed by the ALP to allow people to have domestic violence, women particularly, to have domestic violence leave? Is that necessary?
I think there are a number of ways to approach this, and I've certainly discussed that with the senior executive and my secretary of my department. At the moment, in terms of the arrangements that we have in place, the feedback I have is that we are able to address those sorts of issues through a range of methods like personal leave, for example, which covers a range of factors and is essentially granted at the discretion of a manager or a team leader.
But so the problem with that, isn't it, Maurice Payne, is that you have to actually reveal what's happening to you to a manager up front, that this is a very intense period for people, and that you're actually using other personal leave that every other worker is entitled to, but to deal with this problem. Rosie Batty has backed this proposal. Isn't it just sensible?
Well, I think there are certainly arguments for it, but I'm not sure that I understand the difference between having to identify the issue for domestic violence leave and having to identify the issue for personal leave. In any context, that's a very confronting experience, and I completely recognise and understand that and agree with you. But what we have determined at this point in time is that it seems within the Department of Human Services and the arrangements we have in place that it's working. If it's not working, then of course that would be something we would review.
You've said that successful campaigns against crises of bad behaviour, including the road toll, drink driving, skin cancer, smoking, all these really big campaigns that we've run as a nation have really helped tackle these problems. Don't we need more than $30 million to run a campaign against domestic violence at the scale of all these campaigns that you identify?
Well, it seems to me that we need a lot, in fact, not just money, and a lot across states and territories and from the Commonwealth. What I was trying to point out was that historically, where we've identified problems caused by what I have termed bad behaviours and bad driving, drunk driving, all those sorts of things fall into that category, we've actually been able to drill down into the demographics of that, the socioeconomic issues around that, and produced quite targeted campaigns with occasionally, from time to time, the agreement of relevant stakeholders. And I think we can learn from that. I don't think we've done that yet, in my personal opinion, to the extent that we possibly can in terms of domestic violence. So certainly more to be done, but let's take those good examples and use them to strategise around domestic violence.
I just want to ask you a question on a different issue before I let you go. Malcolm Turnbull has said that those who claim that a carbon trading scheme, an ETS, is a tax, effectively are calling anything that reduces emissions a tax, including the renewable energy target, which your government supports. Do you agree with him?
I haven't heard Malcolm's comments today, and I heard the end of your conversation with Joel Fitzgibbon. I think what we've seen at the Labor Party conference is typical Labor behaviour, that is to say, well, that's where we were before, let's go back to that. And what we have been committed to and are continuing to pursue is our direct action campaign. In fact, I saw just today that the second round of the planting 20 million trees campaign is starting again. I know that's been extraordinarily popular in the parts of Sydney where I live and work, and I look forward to seeing more of that. But in terms of what the Labor Party have tried to do, I just think it's their typical sort of effort at a Labor Party conference. Call me cynical, I'm happy to accept that accolade, but I think that's what it is.
All right, well, I'll leave the listeners to decide what they think of that. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Patricia.
And that's the Minister for Human Services, Maurice Payne, joining us. It's 26 minutes past 6. You're listening to RN Drive.